All right. Thank you, Brother Clear. And it's a blessing to be back tonight in the house of God. Amen. And praise the Lord for that wonderful singing from Brother McKinney. And it did a wonderful job. Amen. I like fellas that get up there and, like to wave a lot and things. And you can tell that they enjoy what they're doing. And Brother McKinney, he enjoys serving the Lord, doesn't he? And what a blessing that is. And so I appreciate, once again, the opportunity to be able to preach the first Sunday of the year. And I was thankful that Brother Clear would ask me to do that. And now we've been doing it for several years now. And I think he understands this is kind of a slow time. Amen. But it is a great privilege, opportunity, always be able to be able to come and minister here in my home church. Brother Clear was talking this morning about the old evangelist. Amen. When I started coming to First Baptist Church here at Rosemont, I started in the Sunday school, the boys' high school Sunday school class. The boys' high school Sunday school class, and now I'm going to Brother Olemaker's class. Amen. And I don't know if it's the old people's class, the elderly people's class, and what is it called? The Conquerors. All right. Well, that's a blessing. Amen. And so now I'm going to that class in quite a span. Amen. But praise the Lord. And when I went to the Sunday school class there, when the first Sunday, it was Brother Edwards. You remember Brother Edwards? Dale Edwards was the teacher, and he challenged all the young men. If you can memorize this verse, when you come back next week and quote that verse from memory, I will give each and every one of you a Baby Ruth candy bar. And so I've never heard Brother Olemaker offer anything like that. And that's kind of why I hit and miss his class. But but anyways, praise the Lord. And it was an easy verse, you know. It was Philippians 4:13, first verse I ever memorized. And I memorized it, come back, and I got my Baby Ruth candy bar. Amen. And praise the Lord. But it's a blessing. Let's see how God has continued to use this ministry, bless this ministry for all these years. And Brother Johnson coming way back in 67, and used him. Now Brother Clear, and see the church continue on. And that's a blessing to my heart. And it encourages me. And so we've got a pretty busy schedule for 2018, some revivals. But this day and age, revival meetings are becoming extinct. Churches aren't having revivals like we used to have back a few years back, 60s, 70s. They'd have revivals in the spring. They'd have revivals in the fall. And revival was the emphasis of the early church, and have meetings. People were faithful. I remember those days when all other churches would come on those nights. We'd have a big time in all of that. But today, it seems to not be as popular. And so scheduling meetings and things of that nature is becoming a little bit more difficult. So I know most of you don't read my prayer letter. I do send a prayer letter to this church. But some things for you to pray about us, pray that the Lord help us to schedule the right type of meetings, and pray the Lord would supply our finances. So the meetings, the finances, and my health. Amen. And for some of you that knew me back when I was a teenager, I'm going to be, in March, I'm going to be 60 years old. And so, I didn't hear a whole lot of amens on that one. But pray for pray for my health, my voice, and all of that. Those are just some things that you can remember to pray for. I saw many of you diligently jotting those things down. Anyways, praise the Lord. It's just Daryl Murphy, the red-headed stepchild. But I don't have red hair anymore. Amen? So I'm sure many of you made some great New Year's resolutions. The number one resolution lose weight. Amen? And losing weight. And so I was standing on the scale, and I had my stomach sucked in, and Lois walked in and says, you know, sucking your stomach in doesn't make you lighter. I said, I know that. I'm doing that so I can see the numbers. Amen? So the number one resolution. Amen? And I got to wear my flex pants. One size fits all. Amen? I've gotten so big my bathtub has stretch marks. I'm telling you. If I sneeze in my underwear, it'd be look like I'm adjusting the Venetian blinds. You know? But anyways, that's what everybody wants to do, lose weight. But I don't make resolutions. I'm with Brother Olamaker. We set goals, amen? Goals. So praise God for that. But 2018, what a blessing it is to be able to be a part of this ministry. I believe and agree with the pastor how that God has some great and mighty things in store. But the thing that I'm disturbed about in Christianity today is we're not reaching the next generation. We're not reaching the next generation for the cause of Christ. And many of the churches that I go to, the average number of them, you know, maybe 75, 80, 90, 100 people. And I've been going back to churches year after year after year. And most of the independent fundamental Baptist churches today are filled with folks that were saved back, you know, in the 60s and 70s and served in the bus ministries. And today, you know, now 40 years later, they're still serving in the bus ministry. Many of them here, you know, still teaching the class. Where's the young people? Where's the next generation? Amen. And, you know, a lot of the guys that I preached for, many of them were saved back in the 70s. Back in the 70s. And when I was a teenager, I used to hear Dr. Hiles and all those, Lee Robertson, all those guys, Jim Vineyard, all of those individuals, and they were the gray hairs. Now it looks like, you know, Brother Clear and I are the gray hairs of fundamentalism today. And the fellas that I preach for, the majority of them saved back in the 70s at the height of fundamentalism. And that was the result of the ministries that God established back in the 40s, back in the 50s, back in the 60s, 70s. And those ministries that were being used mightily of God. And we are a product, Brother Clear, I, Brother Olamaker, others, are a product of that generation. Now, where's the generation that'll follow our generation? Where's those young people today? And, you know, raising up individuals that have a desire to want to be used of God and serve God and have that fire in their heart to want to be used of the Lord. I'm going to read some verses out of Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And then I'm going to apply this. You know, 2018. We ought to ask God to use us to aspire or inspire a fire in somebody's heart. Amen. Especially our children. Especially our young people. We ought to pray and ask God, help me to be a godly influence. Help me to be used that will aspire a fire. Just like that song that Brother McKinney had up on the screen. And, you know, when I began to read those words and hear that song, I thought to myself, that's exactly what I'm preaching about tonight. The next generation. And influencing those young people. Influencing your children. To want to serve God. As God kindles that fire in their heart. And you look at the family. You look at the home. That's what the devil attacks. That's how he weakens the church and destroys the church. He attacks our homes. Just like in the book of Acts chapter 8. When Saul, before he became Paul. Entered into those homes. Dragging those people out. Putting them in prison, and it made havoc of the church. Who's with me? Say amen. And it caused great sorrow, great trouble, and great persecution in that place. But the devil wants to attack your home. The devil wants to divide. He wants to divide. He wants to cause dissension. He wants to cause all sorts of discouragement in our lives. We need to understand that when it comes to our homes, and those will be the strength of the church. If we have a church that's strong, serving God, we need to have some homes that are strong, serving God. Understand the role of the Father is to kindle that fire. Amen. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, in Acts chapter 28, and we'll apply it to what I'm saying tonight, the Bible says, and when they'd escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. So this fire became a blessing. Amen. This fire was used. They were cold. They were wet. They just battled a storm, and they were worn out. They needed some encouragement. And so there was a fire kindled in that place and received us because of present rain and because of the cold. Now, Paul, when he gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarous people saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And so they got this fire kindled. They got this fire going. But we notice that the Apostle Paul, he got up and went, gathered a bundle of sticks, and laid them on the fire. In other words, the Apostle Paul didn't want that fire to die out. No, the fire is dying out in that next generation. And we need to pray and ask God to use us to aspire a fire and to influence young people to want to have a heart and have an attitude to be faithful to the cause of Christ. It's dad's responsibility to kindle a fire in your home. And so now he didn't want the fire to die out. He didn't want the fire. He wanted that fire to continue. So what did he do? He grabbed some sticks and he threw them on the fire. He wanted to stoke that fire. He wanted to fan that flame. And if you look at the way the home is set up, the wife as the helpmeet, the dad kindles the fire, the mother fans the flame. Amen. Fans that flame. Oh, the power of a mother's influence. So strong, so mighty is the influence of a mother upon a child. There'll be no greater influence in the life of a young person than that of a mother. It's been recorded on the battlefields, World War I, World War II, when the Red Cross would go and try to encourage men that have been wounded, men that are ready to die. The last words that they would speak on the face of the earth was mother. Mother. That's the influence. That is the responsibility. And ladies and mothers, we need to understand how important it is for you to fan that flame. The flame of that fire that needs to aspire young people. The dad kindles the fire. The dad is the spiritual leader. The mother is the helpmate. She's fanned the flame. No greater power on earth than the influence of a mother in the home. The dad comes home. He's tired. He's wore out from work. He sits down. The wife brings him some drinks. The wife nurtures, helps, got the meal, everything ready, and got the kids all there, and telling the young people, go over and tell your daddy, thank you. Thank you for working hard. Thank you for putting food on the table. Who's with me? Amen. I'm talking about reaching the next generation for the cause of Christ. I'm talking about the home is under attack, and mom is that influence that will fan that flame. And dad also, as he kindles a fire, responsibility to aspire and fan the flame. The children are the embers. Amen. The embers that need to be stoked, need to be influenced, need to have that type of love nurtured in their hearts. Amen. Just like we see here in this passage of Scripture, how the Apostle Paul did not want the fire to die. He didn't want the fire to go out. He had a great appreciation of the fact that these people had kindled this fire for them to be a comfort and to be an influence in their life. And as they sat around, the fire started to die. Paul took the initiative, amen, and got up. The Bible tells us as he gathered those sticks and put them on the fire and began to fan that flame. We want to reach the next generation. Amen. We need to fan that flame in the hearts of our young people. We need to aspire. We need to inspire these young people to want to be used of God. 25 years down the road, when the young people grow up and they become the deacons and they become the leaders and they become the assistants, and somebody from the church, from the youth group, from the Christian school stands behind this pulpit and is the preacher and the pastor and leading this church, what type of ministry are they going to have? Unless we, right now, as God's leaders, amen, as God's adults, we're losing that generation. Now, the generation before, and I understand all those things may have been different. Back in the 70s, we didn't wear bike helmets. Amen. You rode your bike out there, you wore a helmet, you had something wrong with you. We didn't wear seat belts. We didn't have car seats, anything like that. Our airbag was wrapped up in the swaddling, in a blanket. That was our airbag. Who's with me? We didn't have those things. And we didn't have to wear seatbelts. I don't wear a seatbelt. I don't wear a seatbelt. I've been in 5 life-threatening accidents and didn't have a seatbelt on once. I don't believe the government has the right to dictate to me that I need to wear a seatbelt. I've never read about anybody not wearing a seatbelt, was in an accident, flew through the windshield, his head hit the other guy's head and killed him. It's just a metaphor of what the government wants to do, strap you down. Amen. I make everybody in my car, you know, they wear a seatbelt. I was in my truck going up a mountain road in Oregon, and a log truck pulled out in front of me, and I could not avoid it, couldn't stop. I tried to turn away, put on the brakes. I was in the gravel, and pow, I hit that log truck, caved in the whole driver's side cab. Thank God I was by myself. My family wasn't with me. Caved it all in, and I crawled across the seat, the bench seat. I kicked the door open. I got out. I thanked the Lord. I was able to survive. If I'd have been wearing a seatbelt, those logs would have crushed my head. Someone said to me, "Thank God the Lord impressed you to dive down into that seat." When that happened, I said, "I don't know if it was the Lord." All I could see in my mind's eye was a James Bond movie. I remember James Bond ducking down, going under something. But I know times were a little bit different back then, but the Bible hadn't changed. Amen. God hadn't changed. We want to reach the next generation. We want to reach young people. We want to see them grow in a nurtured admonition, have that influence. They're going to have to take up the mantle. They're going to have to stand in the gap. Amen. And to be used of God. As God tarries, is coming, if we're going to see true biblical Christianity, endeavor to persevere, to endure all the things that are happening today, to aspire a fire. What can I do to reach the next generation? Look at the Apostle Paul. Number one, He was an example of service. Amen. An example of service. I mean, that's the greatest influence you can have on your children, is this, for them to see you serving the Lord. Amen. Serving God. And giving them the understanding of the importance, the emphasis on serving the Lord Jesus. And God may not call all the young people into the ministry, but every single person who claims to know Jesus Christ as Savior ought to have a desire to want to serve Jesus. Amen. Understand that those children don't belong to you. They belong to God. Children are an inheritance of the Lord, is what the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 127. They belong to God. Amen. The problem today is that parents are too possessive with their children. They're going to determine what they're going to do. They're going to live a better life than me. They're not going to struggle financially like I struggle. I'm just going to make sure that they're going to eat, drink, and be merry. That's not being a good steward of the young people, the children that God has given us. They belong to God. Amen. That's why you have the contentions in the school when a young person gets in trouble. Why? Because parents are too possessive with their children. Too possessive. Not willing for them to learn a lesson. I remember when I'd get in trouble in school, my dad always took the side of the teacher. Always took the side of the pastor. Never heard a dissension word from my father towards a teacher, towards the preacher, towards individuals that were there in leadership. What? No, you're not. That your body is a temple of God, that you have the Holy Spirit is in you, and you, which is of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Those children belong to God. And it's our responsibility to be an example of service. The Apostle Paul didn't want the fire to die out. Amen. He didn't want the fire to die out. The fire's dying out in fundamentalism today. The fire's dying out in our churches today. The fire's dying out in our homes today. Young people just seem to have a bitter spirit when it comes to serving the Lord and standing up for the things of God. They're more concerned with the career. They're more concerned with the money. They're more concerned with having a nice little place in the future where they can just call their own. We ought to be the example of service, as the Apostle Paul set out to be that example of service. Who is our example? Jesus made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There it is, Jesus, the example. Are you serving mom, dad? Are you serving Jesus? My mom and dad got saved, they started serving Jesus. Amen. And they got in the bus ministry, and they worked that bus ministry for, 35 some odd years. And then my mother's health's not the best, and my dad's health right now is not the best, so you pray for my mom and dad. My dad's having terrible dizzy spells because of the mini stroke that he had about 2 months ago and just had hip replacement. So pray for them. But when they were able, and so my dad, even before he had hip replacement, was driving a Sunday school bus in the bus ministry for 42 years. An example of service. Amen. An example of service. And that was the emphasis back in the day. But then come along the 80s, and then come along, we've got to be more involved in the politics, and then all the things that were happening, involved in that, involved in the issues, involved in abortion, And rather than visiting your bus route on Saturday, you're out standing in front of an abortion clinic holding hands with the lost crowd. And it went from there. And then the emphasis, you know, about the family. And God bless Bill Gothard. And he had some good things and all of that. But he's never been married. He didn't emphasize the Baptist. He didn't emphasize church. We got distracted from that. And then it's on. And then it was all about money in the 21st century. Oh, we've got to be an example of service. Amen. Mom and dad. Grandpa and grandmas are serving the Lord. Grandpa and grandmas are driving buses. Grandpa and grandmas are teaching Sunday school. Where's the young people? Where's the next generation? Are they seeing? I saw the example of service in my father. I saw the example of service in my mother. I saw how they took the initiative. I saw how they stepped out by faith. I saw how they sacrificed to put my brother and I into the Christian school. And today, God's using me now to preach the gospel because of an influence. Somebody was willing to fan that flame in my heart. Amen. And the pastor that preached, Brother Clear, and all of that, he was an example. And not just an example of service. We see in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul put an emphasis, or in other words, he had exalted the source. He exalted the source. He took the bundle of sticks, and he didn't go out and start his own fire. He didn't go out and decide, I'm going to have a church in my home. I'm going to go out and have something else apart from the church that Jesus has shed his blood for and sacrificed. I'm going to go over here and do my own thing. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not going to be involved. I'm going to take my kids out of the Christian school. I'm going to go over here. And so they get involved in sports, involved in athletics and all of that. You are not fanning the flame unless you emphasize the source, the fire, Christ, the church. Amen. The church. That's where I see it. In the 32 years that I've been in the ministry, and in the 40-some-odd years that I've been a part of this church right here, an emphasis on the source, exalting the fire, service, exalting the church. He brought the sticks. He laid them on the wood. And so my dad hears the preaching and decides, I'm being the spiritual leader. We're going to have family devotions. And so he starts having family devotions after supper. And, you know, I wasn't saved. It was a big transition for my brother and I. I was 15 years old when they got saved. It's like, you know, they got in the ship of salvation. They set sail. And here my brother and I are still standing on a shore, wondering what in the world's happening. And so it was a transition. Now we got to sit down. We get enough preaching. And now we got to sit down at the kitchen table and hear more preaching. But he took that and he kindled a fire. And my mother fanned the flame and recognizing the potential, recognizing that God had put me and my brother and my sister in their care to raise them up, even though it was a little bit later in our life. We still were taught some good character lessons and all of that. Oh, listen, if we don't determine to emphasize and exalt the source, that next generation is not going to be interested in going to church when they graduate from the Christian school or when they graduate from college. Because we think, you know, sports is more important to our kids. Sports is more important to the things of God. And so he exalted these things. Christ, the church, the commandments, the word of God. My dad, he loved preaching, and we'd go all over the state. They'd have the big meeting up in St. Paul. We'd go to that. We'd hear Brother Hines. We'd hear Lester Rolla. We'd hear Lee Robertson. We'd hear Dr. Joe Boyd. We'd hear B.R. Lakin. We'd hear all the old gray hairs. Preaching people, serve God, be faithful to church. Amen. Fanning that flame.
in my life. Fanning that flame. Fanning that flame. Aspire. A fire. Influencing somebody to serve the Lord. And exalted the source. And then he was attacked. Paul was attacked. And here comes this venomous beast. Hang on his hand. What did he do? He put it and shook it off in the fire. Not just an example of service. Not just exalting the source. But dad, mom, sin. You need to be an executioner of sin. Amen. An executioner of sin. Keep your children away from sin. Amen. I know it's harder today than it was way back yonder in the day. And we like it to blame technology and all of that. We want to blame the guns. The guns are killing people. The guns are killing people. Well, you know, Cain didn't have a gun. Cain didn't have a bow and arrow. Cain had his bare hands. Probably had a rock. Smashed his brother Abel in the head. Who's with me? And he didn't have rock and roll music around there. He didn't have movies around to influence him. Any of that, it's in the nature of people. But you don't want to allow things in there that will be an inhibitor, to be an encouragement in those things. You need to be an executioner of sin. Those vipers that want to creep into your home, those vipers that want to creep into your life, into your ministry, to destroy your children and drag them through the muck and mire. People say, Brother Murphy, you got such a great testimony, man. You got away, you got in trouble, you come back, you're serving God now. I wish I didn't have that testimony. I wish I could have stayed right with the Lord. I wish I could have just not gotten involved in all those things that you have to deal with on a constant basis. But, you know, God just doesn't have a plan to keep you from failing. God also has a plan for when you fail. And that's to repent, get right with God. Amen. And you always hope for the good, but plan for the worst. I know I've heard it, don't ever make preparation to fail. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, I'm never going to carry a sandwich with me when I go golfing. Because that's just, you know, why am I having a sandwich? I don't plan on going in the sand. Well, you're preparing to fail. I don't want to prepare to fail. I throw my sandwich away. What happens? I land in the sand. It's hard hitting a ball out of the sand with a driver or with a putter. Sand wedge. Always God has a way of escape. But we've got to be the ones to execute sin when it gets in to our homes and our lives. Young people need to see the disappointment, sometimes the anger. Amen. To get upset. Viper. You want your kids playing with rattlesnakes? You'd never do that. But oh, the things we let them get involved in. What a tragedy. Aspire a fire. Let's reach that next generation. Let's determine this next year to influence some young person. Let's influence a young person, our children especially. Let's influence people. Influencing them to have that fire for the Lord in their life. Father, thank you for your love. Help us, dear God. Recognize this passage tonight. I pray you have your will and way. I pray, dear God, you use us to be able to reach that next generation, help those young people today. Oh, dear God, the things that they're exposed to on a daily basis, trying to pour cold water to the devil, trying to pour cold water on their fire. Help us, Lord, to fan that flame. Help us to aspire. Help us to inspire people, the fire in their heart, and to fan that flame, and to be used of God. Raise up, dear God, a group of men that will kindle a fire in their homes. Raise up some godly ladies that will be willing to fan that flame. And young people as those burning embers that will one day turn into a bold flame, dear God,
being used of you to reach a multitude. God, give it to us. Help us, dear Lord. I pray you have your will and way. His abiding eyes are closed. How many of you say, I needed that message? Lift your hand up, bring it high all over the building. Lift your hand up. I needed that.